Today's scripture reading is from Philippians 4, 8 through 9. Finally, my friends, keep your minds on whatever is true, pure, right, holy, friendly, and proper. Don't ever stop thinking about what is truly worthwhile and worthy of praise. You know the teachings I gave you, and you know what you heard me say and saw me do. So follow my example, and God, who gives peace, will be with you. Hear these words again in a new translation. Finally, beloved, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Keep on doing the things that you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you.
Throughout this series, The Life You've Always Wanted, we've been looking at the gap between the people we are and the people we want to be. I have discovered a strange truth about myself over the years. Perhaps I'm not alone. I have discovered that there is a difference between what I want to choose in a given situation and what I actually choose when in that situation. When I come into the kitchen, let's say, to get a snack, I want to choose carrot sticks or something. But if there are cookies on the counter, my wife can attest, I will most likely eat the cookies. I will most certainly eat the cookies. It's not just with food. At night, as I'm lying in bed getting ready to fall asleep, I want to choose to read the good novel by my bedside or the Bible next to that. But so often I actually find myself surfing the inanities of the web on my phone. It's more than that. I've seen it in myself throughout this series. I want to choose to take time for people, but so often I find myself actually feeling rushed and resentful of the interruption. I want to choose to be generous, but instead I find myself worried about whether or not I will have enough for me. I want to choose to be brave, standing up for others, reaching out to others, but often I find that I actually act out of my fear. We are double-minded. In Romans 7, Paul describes it like this. He says, I do not understand my own actions, for I don't do what I want, but I do the very thing that I hate. I don't do the good I want, but the evil I don't want is what I do. I remember discovering those words, those verses in college, and finding that they gave voice to my experience. There's an old legend, you've probably heard it. An elder is talking to a boy and he says, there's a fight going on inside of me. There are two dogs. One is full of anger and greed and laziness and arrogance, resentment and guilt. The other is good, full of joy and peace, love and hope and compassion and kindness. The same fight is going on inside of you, the elder says, and inside of everyone else too. The boy thinks for a moment and then he asks, which dog will win? The old man simply replies, the one you feed. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. As Cindy said, we are so careful about what we put into our bodies, about the food we eat. We read the labels, we count the calories, we avoid certain additives, we go on diets. We look for superfoods like quinoa. We're careful about what we drink, even the air we breathe in. We're so careful about what we put into our bodies. Paul, in his final exhortation to the Philippians, this church that he loves dearly, invites the Philippians and us along with them to be mindful of what we put into our minds. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about such things. We often tell ourselves that it doesn't affect us. I just have it on in the background. The violence, the anger, the treachery, the betrayal. And I'm just talking about the evening news. We tell ourselves that it doesn't affect us. But I think Paul is inviting us to consider that it might affect us more subtly and more deeply than we know. There's an interesting experiment I saw somewhere years ago. You have a person stand up and hold out their arms like this. That person's job is to hold up their arms no matter what. Then you have somebody come up to them and start saying mean things. They don't have to be specific. You're worthless. You're not good enough. You're lazy. They say this while pushing down on their arms. Even though the arms then offer very little resistance and come down. Then you try the same experiment again. Same people, same arms. This time, though, the person says nice things. You're amazing. You're smart. You're strong. You can do this. Same person, same arms, same downward pressure, except this time the arms stay up. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, he's making this up. Try it at home. We actually did this during Bible study the other week. Marty and Debbie and Cindy can vouch for me. Cindy was trying really hard to keep her arms up because she really likes to prove me wrong. I even started the mean things by saying, none of this is true. I'm just saying it for the experiment.
And then he said really mean things.
And yet, mean words, and the arms dropped. Kind words, and they held strong. Even though they should have been more tired since we did that 1 second. Try it at home if you don't believe me, seriously. What we take in matters, even more than we realize. The words we hear affect us subtly and deeply in ways we maybe don't even quite understand. Take a minute with me and think about what you watched on TV this week. Apparently, the average American watches about 5 hours of television a day. Every show, think about it, every show you watched or just had on in the background, every YouTube video clip you watched, think about what you listened to on the radio. Think about what you read this week in books, newspapers, magazines, what you read on the internet. Take a minute. Think through all of the stuff you put into your mind over the past week. If it's hard to remember the whole week, then just think about yesterday. What did you watch? What did you read? Somewhere along the way, our news and entertainment industries discovered that we are drawn to the things that frighten us. I've kind of started to believe that the 24-hour news cycle, no matter which channel or internet site, has become built on fear. It's not just a fear of what the other side will do if they stay in or come to power. It's the side stories. If you scroll down, the side stories about brain-eating amoebas found in lakes or scary bacteria in tacos. It's the stories of home invasions and violent crimes. If you ask most people, they will tell you that violent crimes are on the rise and coming into neighborhoods more like ours. The reality is that violent crime in this country has plummeted over the last 25 years. Current rates are down to where they were in the early 1950s. I think that the news and entertainment industries have somehow come to proclaim whatever is provocative, whatever is salacious, whatever is polarizing, if anything is scary or scandalous, broadcast such things. Paul calls us to be intentional about what we feed into our minds. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. He's not pretending the world is all sunshine and roses. He's not pretending awful things don't happen. Remember, Paul's writing to a church that is actively being persecuted by the empire for their faith. Paul himself is in jail while he is writing this. Paul himself is in jail and will be executed for his faith while he writes these words. I think Paul's reminder to feed our minds with good things is not because he doesn't see the dark realities of this world, but precisely because he does. He wants the Philippians to be strong. He wants them to be able to hold up their arms, to stand strong. He's not ignorant of adversity. He needs them to be resilient in the face of the adversity that is sure to come. And so at their core, he needs them to carry the stories of hope, the stories of life. In Cormac McCarthy's novel, The Road, a father and a son find themselves traveling along the road in a post-apocalyptic world where people's struggle for survival amidst devastation has turned many to unspeakable acts. Each night, the father tells his son stories. Stories of life before. Stories of who they are. We carry the fire, he says. No matter how bad the rest of them get, we will be different because we carry the fire. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, think about such things. Paul tells us to think about such things. It's an imperative, a command to think. How can we choose to think? I often find, like Henry Nouwen said, that my mind is like a banana tree filled with monkeys constantly jumping up and down. How can we choose to think? This is where our spiritual disciplines come in. These things we choose for ourselves to do in order to shape our hearts and minds in ways that we cannot choose. Decisions we make, little rules for ourselves that we make beforehand to help us choose what we want to choose in the actual moment. So maybe it looks like being more intentional about what we read, or setting boundaries around the screens in our lives. We already do it with our kids. choosing to fill our minds with something else instead. Maybe it's being intentional about choosing where and when we will get our news. Maybe from the morning paper or somewhere else, and choosing to spend no more than an hour a day, maybe a half hour on it. When I'm honest, I'm not actually any better informed by the relentless barrage throughout the day than I was when I just read the paper or watched the evening news. And maybe the discipline, when the news is dark, is like Fred Rogers said, to look for the helpers. Remembering that for all the darkness, there is still light. For every shooter, there are thousands donating blood. In the Lord of the Rings, there's a character, Denethor, the steward of Gondor. And he has this crystal ball called a palantir. It can show him things that are happening in far-off places. He thinks that it gives him an advantage, wisdom, to be prepared. But the crystal ball is under the control of the Dark Lord Sauron. And even though it can only show things that are true, Sauron chooses what is seen. In the end, rather than helping him, Denethor is driven mad with despair. There is a discipline in remembering all the news that doesn't make the news. The world is full of goodness and beauty, too, even alongside the darkness. Maybe you're like me, and it looks like asking your wife to take away the screens at night. She is ruthless, too. I'll be in the middle of reading an article, and she pulls the phone right out of my hand and turns it off. She says, "I love you, and this is what you asked me to do." By asking her to help me, it has made it possible for me to choose the thing I want to choose instead of the thing I always actually ended up choosing. And I hope it means choosing to bring Scripture into your life, to study the Bible. I'm not talking about adding one more thing, waking up earlier to do devotions. Something like that is unlikely to last. I'm talking about setting a rule in your life, maybe that you're going to spend 5 minutes reading your Bible with your coffee in the morning instead of or before you dive into the newspaper or your emails. Or maybe it's at night. Your wife takes away the screens and you make a rule for yourself that you will spend 5 minutes reading your Bible before you dive into whatever else you normally read. We don't need to read huge amounts at a time. As John Ortberg reminds us, the goal is not for us to get through the Scriptures. The goal is to get the Scriptures through us. This is some of the wisdom of Paul. Because he doesn't just tell us what to avoid. It's hard to choose not to think about something. Instead, he tells us what to think about, what to fill our minds with. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is lovely or admirable. Maybe for you it looks like coming back to Sunday school. Sojourners is working through a fascinating book about the way Scripture speaks to the struggles in our contemporary culture. My class is reading through the Gospel of Luke. There's something about reading the Word together in community. Cindy says that reading the Gospels has been a balm when angst about the institutional church and the world around us grows inside her. There's something about remembering again who Jesus is. And the God of peace will be with you. This is the promise that bookends our scripture for today, the hope, the reason we do this, so that we might find peace. It begins with a promise of peace that passes understanding. This is the promise. When our hearts and our minds are full of trouble, When we choose this, this is the promise. When we make this choice, when we study, the promise is that God, the God of peace, will be with us. As we choose to fill our minds with good things, as we choose to study God's word, I think we may find ourselves transformed. I think we may find new life. The word affects us when it gets inside of us, subtly and deeply, in ways we do not fully understand. As the rain brings water to the earth that is thirsty and dry, so does the word. As the rains bring renewal and new life, so does the word. It will not return empty. It will bless the earth wherever it is heard. Amen.